jump into Galatians 5, verse 22, fruits of the Spirit. Now, let me just give you a touch of background. There's lots of gospel themes, aren't there, that run through the book of Galatians, and one of those gospel themes is freedom. And so what Paul has said already is, you are called to freedom, but don't let use it, that is, as an opportunity for the flesh. And then he tells us right how to do that. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the sinful desires of the flesh. In other words, what he's saying is, like we said several weeks ago, in every believer there's a battle between the old flesh and its desires and the Spirit. And the way to overcome the flesh is to walk, live, be led, or Paul's words, by the Spirit. Now that should raise a question that Paul answers. How then do you know if you're being led, if you're walking by the Spirit? And he says, well, it's easy. It's by the fruits. It's by what's coming out of your life. And he gives 15 fruits of the flesh. And he says, if these are the things that are controlling your life without repentance, then you will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, the Spirit of God's not in you. And then he gives these 9 fruits of the Spirit. And he says, but if these are the things that are coming out of your heart, then we know the Spirit's there. Now, there's 4 that we've gone through 3. Today is the 4th. The first one was? Second one was?
Joy.
Third?
Peace.
And today is patience. Love, joy, peace, patience. Now, patience is sometimes a word that's misunderstood. And I'll give you an example. When we were back in the States, I was joking around because I was sleeping in a little bit on holiday. And I was just saying, oh, isn't it nice? I'm practicing patience. I'm just letting the Lord give me patience as my wife gets up and makes coffee for me in the morning. I'm just practicing and living in patience. You know, biblical patience is not doing nothing, isn't it? Right? It's the idea of long-suffering is really what it means. That as you trust and as you wait upon God, one of His callings upon our life is to be long-suffering with other people, like Christ is long-suffering with us. So let's just read Galatians 5. We'll read 16 down to 22. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. And I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Let's pray for it. Oh God, we want to glorify you. And that means we want to manifest to the world the perfections of God through the Holy Spirit working in us. And that's what these fruits are. Lord, and we need patience. Lord, and it comes from love. You tell us in 1 Corinthians 13:4 that love is patient, is long-suffering, oh God. Lord, and we need to be long-suffering in our lives towards Christians, towards non-Christians. And I'm sure that there is impatience in all of us that destroys relationships, that hurts our parenting, our loving of other people, our treatment of other people, oh God. And I just pray today that your Spirit would give us more patience, oh Lord, and show us that we need a greater work of the Spirit through the Word in our life. Let Christ be honored, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I had a friend I went to university with quite a few years ago now, and he got married, but he just out of uni, and he never could settle. I don't know, maybe you've seen people like this, maybe this is you. He would work here for a little while, and then he'd work there for a little while, and he did this ministry for a little bit, and then he'd do that job for a little bit. He'd move towns, he'd move churches. He was like a pinball. He just bounced around. And I'll never forget one time in a service, there was of minister who was just about to get up and preach. And this guy being very impatient, just as he was just about to get up and come in, he pulled him aside and said, "Hey, can I just get 5 minutes with you?" Which is the perfect time you want to get 5 minutes with the pastor, right? Just before he preaches. And the guy had about 5 minutes, and so he said, "Okay, sure." And so my friend cornered him and just unloaded, like, "This is what's going on with me." And the pastor stopped him after about 2 minutes in, and he said to him, "Does the word sabotage mean anything to you?" And my friend said, "No, it doesn't really mean anything." And the pastor said, "Your heart struggles with unbelief of impatience, and therefore you are constantly sabotaging the work of God in your life. When things don't go as you plan, you move. When someone disappoints you, you change friends or relationships. When things are hard, you run. And you're never trusting God and always destroying the work of sanctification of the Spirit in your life." Now, okay, I've got to get up and preach. And he left my friend like this. And I asked him later, I said, "How did your conversation go?" He said, in one paragraph, he summarized the very thing that's been destroying my life for the last 6 or 7 years. Impatience. Now, here in Galatians 5, Paul tells us one of the fruits of the Spirit in your life, if you're a Christian, is patience. And what it means is to be long-suffering, to wait upon the Lord, to trust Him in the midst of difficulties. Now, the opposite of that, of course, is impatience. And it sabotages the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Impatience always wants to throw in the towel, doesn't it? It wants to get angry because things don't go according to my plan. And it often leads us to make rash and impulsive decisions based upon emotions, looking for quick fixes in our lives, quick solutions. But at the heart of impatience is real unbelief. It's not trusting and waiting upon God, but it's constantly taking matters into our own hands, decisions based upon my wisdom rather than the promises of God. Now, I find that Christians are often confused. You say, "Okay, Rusty, I'm called to be long-suffering, to be patient, but what do I do when I am not paid the wages I deserve? When people don't fulfill their promises to me, and they break promises again and again. When someone gossips or destroys my reputation, or slanders me, or says false reports about me, in such situations, what does it mean to be long-suffering in the Spirit?" Well, that's where we're going to go. But here's the main idea today. Don't let impatience sabotage the work of grace. Okay? That's the main idea. Don't let impatience sabotage the work of grace, and I might say in your life and in the life of others around you. Okay? So let's just dive into that. Here's point one. God is long-suffering with you. We're going to look first at God is long-suffering, and then you're called to be long-suffering too. First is this: God is long-suffering with you. Let me read a couple of verses. Romans 9:22. "What if God desired to show His wrath and to make known His power, has endured with such patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction?" Exodus 34:6. "The Lord passed before him," Moses that is, "and proclaimed, 'The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness.'" Scripture, your Bible, is full of the idea that God is long-suffering in His wrath and in His judgment toward rebellious people. And so if we consider the great sin of the world, and even of our own hearts, wickedness that's done every day, and how God continues to shower blessings and goodness upon this world, we must conclude the one or two things. Look, God doesn't care what happens here on the world, one. Or two, He's got a purpose, and His purpose is somehow intertwined with being long-suffering or patient. He's doing something, and He's working it out through long-suffering of man. Now, listen. This long-suffering, this patience, was on display. God showed it in the person of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 1:16, and we're bouncing around a little bit this morning. 1 Timothy 1:16 says this: I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. Okay. Notice what he says. I received mercy for this reason, that in me the foremost. And when I say that word foremost, I say, okay, Paul, you're the foremost of what? And he just told us in the context. He says he's the greatest of sinners. He's the foremost sinner. Before conversion, he was killing Christians. And so the question he's asking is, why would God save me, Paul, a Christian killer? The foremost, the greatest of sinners. And then he gives an answer. Notice what he says. Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe. Jesus saved Paul, he says, so that he could display his long-suffering, his patience, so the church would see that the greatness of Christ in that he is a long-suffering God with the greatest and vilest of sinners. Another way to say that is, Paul is saying, he saved me, the greatest of sinners, to show the church that he is merciful and patient, and that anybody can be saved. Let me explain that. God declares from the beginning, he is slow to anger. It's his character. He's long-suffering with the rebellious world. And yet, he reveals that by sending a Savior who is the God-revealer, right? Jesus. And what we see in him is suffering long. As people say to him in his life, you're just a drunk. You're a great sinner. You're not the Son of God. You're just a great sinner. You're just deceiving people. You're crazy. You're possessed by a demon. And many times they even attempted to kill him. And when he is finally betrayed by his friend, Judas, he was like a lamb being led to the slaughter, not saying one bitter word. But on the contrary, he prayed for his murderers, forgiving them and saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And in the process, he's showing the character of God, isn't he? Showing that God is long-suffering with the sin of man. What Paul is saying here in 1 Timothy 1:17 is this. This is why I was saved. God does all things for his glory. And by saving me, he is showing everyone who struggles with great rebellion that God is long-suffering. That salvation is for them. He is slow to anger. He is patient. He is kind. Move on, I just want to say one more thing. That doesn't mean that God is not a God of judgment. One of my friends used to say, sometimes God comes at you like a lion, sometimes he comes at you like a lamb. I thought that was pretty funny. But it's true, isn't it? Sometimes God is incredibly patient with the world, but there is a time when he will no longer be patient with the world, when we all will be held to account. What have we done with the Son? What have we done with the gospel, the message of salvation, God's grace to the world? You know, when I was a young Christian, I was full of zeal with little knowledge of God. And I was passionate. And one time I was overseas and I had a relative that I'd shared the gospel with heaps. And every time they just never replied, they just move on to, what do you want to eat for lunch? And so finally I wrote them a letter one night after praying for them. And at the end of my letter, I wrote, and if you don't receive Christ, I'm done with you. I'm tired of throwing the pearls of God to swine. Rusty. But God being very gracious to me, I gave it to an older brother. I said, here, read this. Look what I'm doing for Jesus. And he read it. Came back to me and he said something kind of like this. He said, I wouldn't do that if I were you. And he gave the letter back to me and I considered what he was saying, and I agreed. I burned the letter. And to this day, I'm very thankful because I still have a very good relationship and minister to this person. But he was right. God is long-suffering with people. Even when, like Paul is saying with Christians, people who even kill Christians, God is long-suffering. And we glorify him best when we are patient and display that long-suffering towards a dying and lost world. Now, my question to you is, maybe you have heaps of zeal for Jesus, and that's awesome. How do you treat those in your life that don't respond to the gospel of grace? Those who treat you poorly, those who have wronged you, those who speak poorly behind your back. Does impatience rule those relationships with you? So you say and do rash things, and you feel that I must have my revenge. You feel that you must take them to the land of suffering for what they've done to you. So you get angry and let them have it. Listen. God is long-suffering. Jesus is long-suffering. And he saved you by grace through faith. And he's called you, my friends, to be so long-suffering with the unbelief and the failings of people around you. To continue to love sinful people because love suffers long. Now, it doesn't mean that you're called to be a pacifist. Okay? To never fight back and just to be run over. It doesn't mean that we just let people abuse us with no defense. At the heart of it, though, long-suffering, is that you and I are called to cover over people's sins, showing them the same forgiveness again and again and again that Jesus shows us. So they will see through us the long-suffering and the forgiveness of Christ. Does that make sense? Good. Let's go to point two. Here's point two. We are called to long-suffering. That's point one. God is long-suffering with you. Here's point two. We are called to long-suffering. Ephesians 4:2. Let's start with Ephesians 4:2. I'm going to read that. And there's two things we want to see here. You're called to be patient with Christians, and you're called to be patient with non-Christians, especially when they mistreat you. Ephesians 4:2. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Listen, my friends. Every relationship in your life, every relationship in our church has got a strain, and there's a battle going on in it. It's the battle of sin, where you are constantly sinning and hurting other people, wounding other Christians. You might call this friendly fire. And as we wound and we hurt other Christians and those around us, the only thing that will heal those wounds is patience and forgiveness. Now, we are called to bear with each other. We're called to forgive like Jesus did, completely, never bringing it up again. And the reason we're called to be long-suffering like this, called to forgive like this, to cover over, to wash, is because long-suffering literally means we suffer long. It's not that hard of a word to understand. It means we forgive long. We wash over long. We cover long. How do you do that? Patience ultimately comes from believing and trusting in the goodness and in the sovereignty of who our God is. So believing that the Spirit is in work in this other Christian person, they are a work in progress, I don't need to fix them. My part is to lovingly be patient with their failings. Doesn't mean I'm not active and pointing out things in their life, but I do it in a patient way. And therefore, if patience is that, trusting, impatience is just the opposite. The battle with impatience is a battle of unbelief, looking for short-term fixes because I don't trust in the long-term work of the Holy Spirit in this person's life. Therefore, I'm impatient. I want to get in there and fix it myself because I don't really believe that God is sovereign and His Spirit is working. We treat Christians with patience. Now let's move to the much harder thing. Patience when treated evil. 1 1 Corinthians 4:11 to 13. I want to read this to you. This is what Paul says. To the present hour, we hunger and thirst. We are poorly dressed and buffeted and homeless. And we labor, working with our hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. We have become and are still like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things. Now here's the kicker. Verse 16. I urge you, be imitators of me. Paul says, imitate me. This is how Paul is long-suffering. When mocked, when yelled at, when cursed, he speaks blessings over people. When persecuted, when spit on, when people say they won't work with him, he endures. He doesn't quit. When people slander him and say, you are a fill in the blank, he gives them truth. He says, you speak lies. I'm going to give you truth. And he says to you and I, imitate me in being long-suffering to the world. Now, why? Why should we imitate that? Why are we called to imitate Christ in that? And here's where I got my answer. Colossians 1:24. Let me read this to you. Now I rejoice in my sufferings, Paul says, for your sake. And in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, that is the church. Paul is crazy. In all his sufferings and all those things we just listed, he says he rejoices in it. He's having joy in it. He's praising God for it. What is it that gives him joy and you and I joy and the ability to rejoice in the midst of that type of suffering? And this is where he gives us his answer. Listen, I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. What does that mean? He's not saying Christ didn't do enough to save you, that your suffering plus Christ's suffering saves you. That's not what he's saying. He's dispelled that 1,000 times in other places. What he's saying is, nothing is lacking in Christ's suffering except that the church see it and understand it and believe it and trust in it. And I show them Christ's suffering, the church and the world, and the way that Christ suffered and his patience with sin through the way that I suffer. It's what he said in 1 Timothy 1:16. I was saved that I might display Jesus' perfect patience. And so listen, he's saying, in the way I suffer, I am showing the gospel to the world. That Jesus Christ suffered patiently, enduring, knowing that God had a purpose and was working through that suffering. And knowing not only that, but he suffered for me, the chief of sinners. And Paul's saying, that's the reason he saved me, such a great sinner, so I can show the world Jesus is suffering. And I think that's the reason you and I suffer and are called to be patient in suffering. So people say, how in the world can you do that? And we say, there's one who suffered much more. And I am long-suffering with you, and I love you because he was long-suffering with me. You see? Okay. Let's just close with this. How do we grow? Okay. I find that I'm very impatient. A couple days ago, I was in a parking lot, and I was waiting to make a park. And you know, Kiwis are usually very gracious. They see your blinker on, they won't pull into your spot. Never had that happen until this week. And I was late for lunch with my friend Jay here, and this little old man, who could barely see over the steering wheel, just pulls around me. Here I am with my blinker on. He just putts around me. It's right in front of me, and then pulls right into the spot. And I was very impatient. I was not long-suffering with him. And it wasn't until I saw that he was an old man that I wanted to give it to him. Because I'm a sinner. Now, how do we grow in patience and long suffering? How do you grow in it? How do you overcome impatience in your life?
what's that bad?
Well, first, some might say, I can't be long-suffering the way I'm treated, Rusty. You don't understand. My boss is terrible. I can't bear it anymore. And to have some revenge, I have to let him have it.
Let me ask you this.
Are the wrongs you have received from people greater than the wrongs you have committed towards God? Have people's sins towards you been greater in number and greater in heinousness than yours have been towards Jesus? And the answer is no. Yet when we think of God's long suffering with me, I don't just approve in it. I praise Him for it, and I love Him for it. This is the very heart of the gospel that I love and I hope in, that Christ died for my sins, was long-suffering for a sinner like me, and therefore continues to be long-suffering and working in me, showing me patience all the time, and I praise Him for it. Now, if you approve of that gospel message and you love it too, and you love it in God, why should it also not be approved of in you? Why should you not be called to imitate it towards the world? In other words, to say, if it's good in God, why is it not good in you? And if we exist to glorify God and enjoy Him, then why should He not call you, His disciples, to show this long-suffering to the world? And then we can conclude that, look, through long-suffering, He's doing something in me and bringing me to a place of joy. Now, here's the second thing I want to say. How do I grow in this work of the Spirit? Okay, I understand what you're saying, Rusty, but how do I grow in it? Psalm 130, verse 5. Let me read this and we'll just close here. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning. More than watchmen for the morning. Here's the cure for impatience. It is waiting in the hope of God's promises. Scripture is full of warnings and promises. Believing the warnings, if I don't wait, and if I flee, and if I'm not patient, I'm going to end up sabotaging the work of God's grace in my life. If I have to have it done now, if I don't trust that He's sovereign. But if I wait and I'm patient, like the watchman in the morning, standing upon His promises, you see, while I'm waiting for Him, He will strengthen me, He will encourage me, He will build me up, all the while showing the world the suffering of Christ and furthering the gospel through what I endure. And I think what He does in your heart is a work of holiness and joy in the midst of that fire. Let's just pray. Lord, God, there are so many unanswered questions here about long-suffering, about patience. And Lord, some of us are treated very poorly by others. God, and I praise You, we're not called to be pacifists. We're not called to just be run over. We're not called to give up the fight. We're not called to not get the police involved in our situation. Or give up justice. We're called to love justice. But at the same time, God, we are called to patiently endure and forgive those who sin against us. And in doing that, the gospel goes forward. Lord, and I don't have that in my heart. I am impatient. Lord, and I imagine other brothers and sisters here are impatient as well. And we end up sabotaging the work of grace in our life. I just pray right now that we would see we need a greater work of the Spirit. And like Psalm 130, verse 5 says there, that comes through Your word. It comes through the promises of God. It comes through standing on that. Lord, I pray Your Spirit would take Your promises and Your word and develop patience in our life, oh God, so that people can see Christ in us and be saved. And You receive the glory. And we receive joy in this. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand and sing. We're going to sing in Christ alone.